It's 1:15 here on Giant 90.9, and that can only mean one thing. Jackson, Kevin, and Christian are all in Studio A. Special guest Owen Pulley is joining us, and it's time for the Sports Spotlight!
It's good to finally heal that intro once again as the Sports Spotlight is back here on Indy's Giant 90.9. Good afternoon and welcome back to the Sports Spotlight. It's been a while. I'm your host, Jackson White, and joining alongside me is Kevin Gleva, and we have a good one here on Indy's Giant 90.9. And now joining us is Vice President of the ISC Sports Network, the voice of the Indy 11, and the post-game host for the Colts Radio Network, Greg Regstraw. Welcome to the Sports Spotlight.
Good morning or good afternoon, fellas. Happy to be with you.
Yeah, it's a good one to be back. I'm Jackson White here with Kevin Gleva. And one big thing that happened over the weekend was the Colts had a primetime game this Sunday night. They got a big win, 30-18 in a monsoon versus the 49ers. I mean, the Colts looked a little bit, you could say, not scrappy. I mean, they were scrappy, but there was mistakes. But I think this was a big step in the right direction for the Colts this Sunday night.
Well, they absolutely had to have the victory. I mean, there's no doubt about that. It was just one of those games where if you look at the schedule and you get in a 2-4 hole, you say, okay, how many wins is it going to take to be a playoff team? You know, there's catching Tennessee, which this week goes a long way towards doing. But then there is, okay, if we can't catch the Titans, how many games is it going to take to be able to be a playoff team? And likely that would be 10 wins. Last year it was 11 in a 16-game schedule, but let's just say 10. So going into that game, you know, 8-3 is kind of what you needed to go. And let's face it, you've got games against Tennessee, you've got games against Buffalo, you've got games against the Bucs, you've got a game at the last unbeaten football team in the NFL, the Arizona Cardinals. And now the Colts are going to, you know, obviously try to win every game they play, but big picture, they've got about a third of their games against some of the best teams in the NFL. They've got about a third of their games against some of the worst teams in the NFL, that being the Jets, Jaguars, and Texans. This was one of those games against kind of a swing team. You know, one of the teams in a similar predicament as the Colts and the Niners. You know, the Patriots, you know, would kind of be in that mix when they play them in December. The Raiders are kind of in that mix, even though I think they're 5-2 at this point when the Colts play them on January the 2nd. So this is a game I felt the Colts had to have. And in conditions the way that they were, mistakes were going to happen. You hated the fact that Jonathan Taylor fumbled on the first play, but clearly that kind of caught back up, and the turnover battle was won by the Indianapolis Colts, which is something I think they have to do to be a successful football team from a defensive standpoint. So, no, it wasn't always pretty, but that was a night they simply had to get the W, and they found a way to get the job done.
Yeah, one big thing was the pass interferences by San Fran in this. They won the penalty game and they won the turnover game, like you said, and they did win the turnover game against Tennessee earlier in the season, ended up losing that game, but Carson Wentz was, I would not even say 50%, but that one. But Carson Wentz in the month of October has 8 touchdowns to 0 interceptions. He has 11-1 on the season. I mean, Carson Wentz is a guy who people question him getting traded, and he gets lots of hate from the sports media. And, I mean, Carson Wentz has been a good quarterback for the Colts. I mean, without Carson Wentz, I do think this Colts team is 0-7. I don't see them winning a game without Wentz. He's gave that aspect of a quarterback since we haven't had since 2018 with Andrew Luck.
You know, Carson's been really good. I'm sorry to cut you off there, bud.
Oh, you're fine.
You know, Carson has been outstanding. And the way that I have phrased in previous interviews is this, is that, you know, Carson was maybe one of the biggest question marks coming in. And now through 6 or 7 weeks of the season, like, the least thing that I question is the quarterback position.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the offensive line is getting better. It's probably not been as good as we had thought or hoped it would be going into the season. We thought the defense would be better. Injuries clearly have played a key reason as to why that has been the case. There have been some problems in special teams, I mean, that weren't anticipated going into the year. But literally, like, that was the way that we felt about this football team in July and August. Hey, if Wentz can just be an average quarterback, this team's going to be okay. Well, right now they're an average football team. But if you ask me the most above-average position on the team so far, my answer is the guy wearing number 2.
Yeah, and then so looking at the other side of the ball on the defense, Darius Leonard, of course, has been off to a really just tremendous start to the year, even playing with kind of a nagging injury on his ankle. But, I mean, so far, 2 picks, three forced fumbles. I mean, do you think there's like a defensive player of the year, dark horse candidate for the Colts there?
You know, he is going to be in the conversation for a Pro Bowl position. I do think, and it's remarkable that he has had the impact on games that he has had, and that when you are averaging forcing a turnover a game, that rightfully gets a lot of attention. His tackle numbers are down because he simply doesn't have the range of motion that he normally does because of that ankle injury, and I'm not sure that's going to be right the entire year. You know, they've kind of got this mini bye coming up after playing the Jets next Thursday night. Then they have the very late bye, not playing on December the 12th. Maybe 2 weeks off will help that for that kind of closing stretch of the season, the last four regular season games. I don't know if he's defensive player of the year, if he's able to keep this pace up. You know, if he's got, like, say, 8 interceptions, 10 fumbles forced, you know, X amount of fumbles recovered, maybe. I think it's probably going to go in a different direction. But I do think he's under Pro Bowl consideration. And, again, knowing that he is not even close to 100%, yet he is making an impact on every game in a positive way for this Colts team defensively, just kind of further cements why the Colts gave him the, you know, largest contract currently for an inside linebacker in pro football.
Yeah, one thing is the contracts do go up as every player, as Fred Warner, who they did play last week, had $95 million, Leonard getting $98 million. I mean, it's really close, but obviously the leader for defensive player of the year is going to be Tavon Diggs, the corner for the Cowboys. I mean, he has 7 interceptions already on the season, so I think he is the front runner. But one thing from this Colts offensive line is they've improved every game. I think Chris Reed, the rookie, he stepped in for Quentin Nelson at left guard, and now he's kind of moved to right guard as Gorenski's kind of had a shaken up season as he's not as good as we expected. But this Colts offensive line has gotten better. They're starting to run the ball, and in all reality, I mean, you could look at a couple of these games at the start of the year, and they could easily be a 5-2 team, a 6-1 team, and obviously it hasn't gone that way. I mean, they have a big game against Tennessee this week. Tennessee's gotten big wins over the Bills and Chiefs of late. What do you expect this Sunday, 1 o'clock at Lucas Oil?
Well, first of all, I look at the Titans' schedule and go, man, that's a rugged schedule.
Mm-hmm.
To know that you've got to go back-to-back weeks of Bills and Chiefs, and then you have to go to your top division rival. And let's face it, this year, you know, Indy and Tennessee both knew, hey, listen, it's going to be the two of us, just because of kind of where both Houston and Jacksonville currently are in terms of being NFL franchises. So, to some degree, the fact that Titans come into this game with a cushion, where they've already won the first one and they're 2 games clear of the Colts, to some degree they are playing with house money. To me, it's almost like the law of averages seems to catch up with you in the AFC. Tennessee could be as good as any team in the AFC, and there's no lie about that, yet they're the one team that's lost to the Jets so far this year. In other words, no team has been able to maintain greatness throughout the course of this season. You know, like a lot of us thought maybe the Buffalo Bills were the best team in the AFC. Well, they've lost twice, you know, one of them being in Nashville, the other one being to a Steelers team that's really been struggling so far this year by their own lofty standards, coming back in week number one. We were all ready to crown the Baltimore Ravens as the best team in the AFC, and they just got housed by the Bengals on Sunday. And that's not exactly as bad as it maybe was a few years ago, because the Bengals, I think, are actually pretty good, but you still don't like getting beat in your own building by 24 points. In other words, I'm not sure there is a great team in the AFC. A lot of good teams in the AFC. I think the AFC is a lot deeper than the NFC, but I could see Tennessee kind of coming back to the pack a little bit. Clearly, this game has a lot more importance to the Indianapolis Colts than it does to Tennessee. At the same time, if Tennessee wins this game and they are 3 up with the tiebreaker, you can wrap it up now. They're going to be the champions of the AFC South.
And yeah, like you said, the AFC has more depth when it comes to good records, but the NFC has, let's say, the top 6 records in the league, and then obviously they're kind of fighting for that top 5 records in the AFC, in the league, I should say. But one point is that I've seen in the AFC, like you said, the Bengals got a big one, and they're tied for number 1 in the AFC. Who do you think is going to be the AFC champion after watching? I know they're all kind of in the middle of the pack. Is there any team that you think is going to come out as a clear favorite after the season commences?
Well, clearly, because we're in Indianapolis, the answer is the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, they're going to go on a 13-0 run. You know, you get what I'm saying here. It's a great question. I still think at the end of the day, I think the Buffalo Bills are the best team in the AFC. Again, it took kind of a strange call, but a call that didn't go right for the Bills, for them to lose in Nashville. I think from a talent standpoint, I think Buffalo is the best team. But again, I also think that, you know, from 1 through 10, there are some pretty solid football teams in the AFC. So hard to pick a favorite right now, and it could be just kind of who matches up with whom. And obviously by the time we get to mid-January, who is the team that can avoid the catastrophic loss from an injury standpoint? You know, who is the healthiest team going into the playoffs? Could determine who's going to be the AFC champ. You maybe pick one team, I'd probably still stick with Buffalo.
Yeah, and then looking on the other side of the league, like Jackson was saying, I mean, most of the best records in the leagues do belong to the NFC. I mean, of course, the Cardinals being the only undefeated team left, do you have an idea on which one of those teams could make it to the Super Bowl and play the AFC champ?
You know, I think Arizona's the best team. I think the Rams are not too far behind them. We're going to learn a lot more about Arizona playing the Packers on Thursday night. Now, again, Packers dealing with some COVID issues. Not sure if we'll see Davante Adams or what else that could mean, you know, for the game coming up in just a couple of nights. But just because the Colts have played a lot of 1 o'clock games, I have ended up, while on the air doing the postgame show, kind of seeing the Cardinals on a monitor or tracking their games. What they are doing offensively is staggering right now. I mean, the league has not caught up yet to how do you slow down that offense that takes you from sideline to sideline with Kyler Murray and several other speed demons around him, both in the backfield and at wide receiver. I love how creative they are being with former Purdue Boilermaker Rondale Moore, a second-round pick that they had this past year. So I'll go with the obvious right now in terms of the team that's unbeaten. I think Arizona's got something special going.
Yeah, Arizona, I mean, Rondale Moore's the guy I thought the Colts could target. I mean, he's a speedster, and that's one thing this Colts offense has been lacking. But the Colts have really suffered lots of injuries in their secondary. Julian Blackman of late having an Achilles injury that's going to hold him out for the rest of the year. And, I mean, safety is one position that has been kind of a struggle some for the Colts as we really wrap this up for about the Colts is, I mean, just what do you think the Colts can do defensively to kind of help their secondary that's kind of been lackluster this season?
It's a good question because there's not many great players available at this late stage of the season. And I'm not sure there are that many guys that are going to be traded that could help you. You know, every team pretty much has their hands on 65, 70 players at this point. You know, an active roster is between 53 and 55. Practice squads go between 10 and 15 players. And so you multiply 70 by 32, you know, now we're talking about, you know, over 2,000 players in the National Football League. You are getting way down the depth chart if you're trying to find somebody that's available at safety or cornerback that can help you. The cornerback position, it's about simply getting guys healthy. Xavier Rhodes, much like Darius Leonard, has been playing hurt the entirety of the season. Rocky Sin with an ankle injury, who had been playing better, has not played now over the course of the last 3 weeks. You know, T.J. Carey, that is hopefully off the injured reserve at some point in time in the next week or two. All of those are guys that can help. Now, that's cornerback. Safety is a different argument because there is not a guy available both on their roster or on somebody else's roster like Julian Blackman who can spell what he did for this defense during the first 6 weeks of the season. Popped his Achilles in practice last Wednesday and is done for the year. Cornerback, in theory, you've got some guys coming back that can help you. Safety, you just got to piece it together because you're not going to find a player as good as Julian Blackman.
Yeah, Blackman has really just taken that sophomore leap. But we know, Greg, you do have a big day coming at you as you are feeling for JMV, so we're going to let you off here. Thanks for joining us on the Sports Spotlight.
You got it, buddy. Anytime. Thanks for the time, fellas.
All right. Thanks, Greg. Thank you to Greg Rexstahl for joining us once again, talking Colts and around the NFL. As we're going to be right back, we're going to come back talking Chiefs as they've struggled losing to the Titans 27-3 and more on the Sports Spotlight. We'll be right back.
The thought of my sons growing up without me inspired me to quit smoking.
I talked to my doctors and then I threw away all my cigarettes, ashtrays, and lighters.
I started exercising instead of smoking.
Staying away from alcohol when I was first quitting was key.
I kept on trying, learned something each time.
Do whatever it takes.
No matter how many times it takes.
We did it, so can you.
For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
First, I hold my hands out like they're on a steering wheel. Then I look over my shoulder. One, okay, cool guy. Two, three times. Next, oh, I put it in reverse. Meep, meep, meep. Then I take it up and down, up, up and down. And that, kiddos, is called the forklift.
Dance like a dad. It's a great way to make a moment with your kids.
Now that's dancing. sure beats flossing. Visit fatherhood.gov, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I work out every day. COVID won't kill me.
I'm 24. COVID won't kill me.
I have antibodies. COVID won't kill me.
It's been a long week. COVID won't kill me.
I'm 25. COVID won't kill me.
I'm partying outside. COVID won't kill me.
I don't need to wear a mask around my friends. COVID won't kill me.
I'm 23. COVID won't kill me.
If I haven't gotten it yet, COVID won't kill me.
I'm young. COVID won't kill me.
Famous last words. Don't let them be yours. Socially distance. Mask up, America.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Ask yourself what you will miss more, your children or cigarettes. As long as I can remember, my mother smoked. She died from lung cancer when I was 16. I could not take the chance of continuing smoking and not being here for my daughter. I know how much I needed my mom still, and I didn't realize it until I had lost her.
You're not just quitting for yourself. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
And now, welcome back to the Sports Spotlight. And once again, thank you for Greg Reichstraw for joining us for this first segment, talking Colts football, as they did get a big win. And if you liked Greg, you can hear him on 107 The Fan. He'll be tuning in at 3. So filling in for JMV, so I'll make sure to tune into that after this. But one big talking point in the NFL was the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, last week, going into the season, they were a team that was supposed to be the top dog. I mean, they had offensive line problems last season. They thought they fixed them, and they did not, as they got blown out 27-3 versus the Titans. And the Tennessee Titans are a team that is, they've improved since week one dramatically. And, I mean, even though they did lose to the Jets earlier in the season, I think they're a talented team. They do place the Colts, and we'll get into that more Thursday. So make sure to tune into that one. But just this was a blowout game. And one thing for the Chiefs, they are in danger territory right now. They're 3-4. They've dropped two straight. And I think if you're the Kansas City Chiefs, you are scrambling to try to fix this team.
Yeah, and I mean, that Titans game where they did lose 27-3, you know, at first they're getting up big, but we'd seen it before. I mean, the Chiefs had been down like three scores to the Titans in the playoffs, and they ended up coming back and winning that game. But over the year, I mean, they've had close games. They had a four-point win versus the Browns. They lost to the banged-up Ravens, who they've been a surprisingly good team after all the injuries they suffered. They lost to the Chargers, another solid team. I mean, they lost to the Bills, and then they lost to the Titans. So a lot of these solid teams, I mean, they're not like dominating people like they used to be. They're either in close games or losing by two or three possessions to these other good teams in the AFC.
Well, one thing I really did kind of notice from this Chiefs team, because I did watch this game as the Colts played on Sunday night, so I got to check it out. This game was in Tennessee. Is the Chiefs defense is, I would say, top three, bottom worst in the league. Their defense is not good. They have star players on their defense. Chris Jones, one of the best defensive linemen in the league. I mean, they have a good safety. Tyrann Mathieu is a superstar, but they have other skill positions that are just not filled. Their linebackers aren't good. The only guy getting pressure is Chris Jones. Their cornerbacks are, I think there's teams that have better cornerbacks as backups. I mean, the Chiefs defense cannot stop the run going up against a team as the Titans. And they have the best running back in the league, Derrick Henry. I mean, he only had 86 yards, and you can look at that. That's a victory, holding Derrick Henry to only 86. But, I mean, Derrick Henry also tossed for a touchdown. I thought that was pretty funny. 5 yards out, he threw a touchdown.
The king does it all.
The king does it all. But, I mean, just this Chiefs defense is terrible. Their offensive line is just allowing Patrick Mahomes to run for his life, and he has not done anything like that since college. And this Chiefs team really reminds me of his college team. I mean, obviously, these players are better. They're in the NFL. But he is running for his life on offense, and their defense cannot hold anything up. And the Chiefs, I'm still going to go on a ledge, and I think they're going to be at least a top-three team in the AFC. They're talented. I mean, they have too much talent not to win. They're playing Patrick Mahomes, $500 million for a reason. I mean, they have Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, two best at their position. And, I mean, you just have to look at this Chiefs team and say, you have talent, you got to put it together. And if you do not put it together now, I mean, their season might be over.
Yeah, and I mean, like you were saying with that O-line, That's where the offense all starts. You can't run the ball if your O-line can't block, and you can't pass either if your quarterback is constantly running for his life. So, I mean, the trouble starts there. I mean, they have Orlando Brown Jr. He's a solid player, but otherwise, I mean, if you saw the Super Bowl last year or any of the games this year, I just mentioned the Super Bowl because, I mean, that's a game most people watch. You know, you'd see Mahomes running all around the field trying to make plays. And, I mean, back when the Chiefs were able to just blow teams out every week, I mean, we didn't see that sort of Mahomes. They were able to just play as a team and get things done. But we're kind of learning, we're putting more of a load on Mahomes' shoulders these days to get it to those talented players. And, I mean, it's not working out well. I mean, he has 9 picks through the season.
10 through 7 weeks. I mean, that is
16
just,
in the last 16 games he's played.
It's just he's turning over the ball at a point that last season he only threw 6 interceptions, and now he's almost doubled that, only 7 games in. I mean, this Chiefs team is in shambles right now, and now going to a team that has exceeded expectations by far. How about them Bengals? The Cincinnati Bengals are 5-2 on the season. They beat the Ravens 41-17. And Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase looking like they're back in their college days. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase is the clear rookie of the year favorite. Easily. I mean, 201 yards in this game. And they beat a Ravens team that people were saying, well, they're the best team in the AFC. I mean, the Bills lose to the Ravens. I mean, there's a questionable call. Did they lose to the Ravens? I don't know. No, the Titans beat the Bills. I got a little spinned up there. But, I mean, the Ravens were the front runner, even though the Colts should have beaten a couple weeks ago. And now the Bengals are tied for the best record in the AFC. And, I mean, the Bengals are a team that no one thought would do this. I thought they were going to be at the bottom of the pack. I did not think they are ready. Ja'Marr Chase struggled in the preseason catching the ball. He does not struggle anymore. I mean, he has been dominant. And the Bengals defense, I mean, they have a good team. Joe Burrow looking like the number one pick in that 2019 class, 2020 class. I am really on it today. But Joe Burrow's looking good, really good. And there's just so many teams in this AFC that could be the top dog. And as of right now, the Bengals get a massive win. Their running game is on point. Joe Mixon rushing for a touchdown. And their backup, Perkins, also running for a touchdown. So, I mean, they have talented backs. They can run the ball. Their offensive line, which was questionable going into the season, has looked extremely impressive. And, I mean, the Bengals are a team to watch out in the AFC.
Yeah, I mean, last year during the draft, it was kind of assumed that the Bengals are going to be taking an O-lineman. I mean, Joe Burrow already had a major injury in his career. They want to protect him, put some longevity to the talent he has. But surprising to a lot of people, they ended up taking Ja'Marr Chase. But, I mean, worked out wonderfully for them, the connection between him and Burrow. I mean, some people, or I've heard a couple arguments saying that the Steelers running back, Najee Harris, the rookie, should be rookie of the year.
No.
But, I mean, I don't think anyone's close to Ja'Marr Chase. Just the numbers he's putting up. I mean, he has the most receiving yards through the first 7 games of an NFL career. So,
I mean, that's just something unheard of.
Yeah.
And now going to a game that happened Thursday night, and Kevin's favorite team, the Brownies, got a big win over the Broncos, 17-14, and really the big talking point of that game has to be Baker Mayfield hurt with a left shoulder injury, which does not affect the quarterback as much as you might think because it is his non-throwing shoulder, but whenever you throw the ball, I mean, your whole body's going to be into it. And the Browns, I mean, Mayfield's hurt. I mean, Keenum played a decent game. But if you're the Browns right now, I mean, you're really just thinking, I mean, your two backs, Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, are both hurt. Hunt's now on IR. Chubb should be back this Sunday. I mean, the third stringer, Johnson, had himself a game 146, a touchdown. But Baker Mayfield, I mean, if he does not get back soon, the Browns could slow down and go down in the rankings in the AFC.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at the Browns' depth chart, I mean, like, the first 5 people you see in skill positions are all questionable. I mean, Baker Mayfield, torn muscle in his left shoulder as well as a broken bone as he took a rough fall. And really, I think Case Keenum, in the way backups go around the league, he's not that bad. I mean, he He has a lot of experience playing in the league.
He's one of the best backups in the league.
Yeah, he can throw a ball. I mean, is he as good and able to lead a team through a playoff run? I don't think so. But, I mean, and the Browns are such just a run-heavy team. So, Nick Chubb and...
Kareem Hunt?
Kareem Hunt, yeah. I was blanking there. Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, both of them being out is just a big issue. But, I mean, D'Ernest Johnson was able to fill those shoes. But they were playing the Broncos, who, I mean, isn't the greatest team in the league. But, I don't know, it'll be interesting. Defense has been able to stay healthy for the most part, though. So, I mean, that's been a big part of what they've been able to do.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, D'Ernest Johnson, I mean, he had himself a night. LeBron James even tweeted him out in the postgame. He was like, LeBron? LeBron James, yes, he did tweet you out because you had yourself a ball game. And the Browns, I mean, they have just such a great offensive line. Their running game is so good. And, I mean, that's going to help them make the playoffs. I mean, without that running game, I don't know if this team's really that good. But that running game is just so elite. They're going to get in. But you have to have a quarterback who is healthy. And I think Baker Mayfield has the ability to win playoff games. I guess he is a good quarterback. He's not great, but he is good. And if Mayfield's hurt, I don't see that. I see them making the playoffs maybe as a wild card. I think the Ravens would take over that division, or maybe even the Bengals, if Mayfield does continue to sit. But, I mean, the running game is going to get you in as a wild card because that defense still has playmakers in Denzel Ward and others. So the Browns, I mean, are a team to watch because that running game is just so elite, like I've said eight times now in a row. But now shifting topics to a game that, I mean, had abilities to be good, but wasn't as good as people thought, was the Saints and the Seahawks Monday Night Football. Jameis Winston and the boys get the win. And now shifting to the NFC, I mean, these are both teams that were expected to make the playoffs going into the season. The Seahawks now kind of falling as Geno Smith is their quarterback. Russell Wilson's going to miss at least one more game with a finger injury. And the Saints, not as good as people thought would be either. Jameis Winston was a guy who threw five touchdowns in his first game and was up there in MVP conversation. He slowed down. I mean, they've made him more of a game manager. And I think even though that's what you want in Jameis Winston, you got to have him just take the deep shot. And they've kind of slowed him down. And, I mean, the Seahawks, the same thing. Geno Smith is a good backup to play a game maybe, but he's not a guy who's going to win you games, multiple games in a row. And, I mean, that's shown. The Saints now, they won 13-10. I mean, this was kind of a stinker on Monday night.
Yeah, it was not the greatest quality.
I think all the primetime games so far have been good games, all the Monday night games especially. And this was kind of probably the worst Monday night game I've seen. But the Saints, big win. Jameis Winston, he did decent. But, I mean, going around other scores in the league, like we said, the Browns beat the Broncos 17-14. Packers, big win, 24-10 over Washington. The Bengals, like we've talked about, Bengals 5-2, top of the AFC. Giants beat the Panthers, and going to the Panthers now, I mean, this Panthers team started the season 3-0. Sam Darnold, like, wow, he got away from the Jets. He's going to be the guy. He was not the guy in this one. I mean, he got benched in the third quarter for P.J. Washington and former XFL MVP, you could say, even though the league disassembled after 7 weeks. I mean, the Giants, big win. That's a team that people had high expectations for, too. Daniel Jones looked like OBJ on a catch, I guess, for 8 yards. The Giants win. The Panthers, though, they signed Stephon Gilmore on free agency. Well, a trade, you could say. The Patriots released him, former defensive player of the year 2 years ago. But the Panthers, I mean, Sam Darnold doesn't look like the guy, and now they've entered the conversation for Deshaun Watson. So just what have you seen from Sam Darnold this season? And, I mean, do you think he is the guy going forward, or should they just try other options?
You know, I think a big thing in those first three games where they won the three straight is, of course, they had their best player, Christian McCaffrey. And, I mean, playing with someone like that, it'll make a quarterback look better. And the interesting thing was Sam Darnold, most of his touchdowns were coming off rushes. I mean, he was like the leading touchdown rusher in the league as a quarterback early in the year. But now teams are kind of starting to figure that out a little more. He's not a Lamar Jackson, and they're making him throw the ball a little more. And it's been more of a challenge. I mean, I wouldn't completely count him out yet, but I think he definitely has some work to do as the, you know, team's kind of hitting some key injuries. So And, I mean, he doesn't have incredible receivers to throw the ball to. I mean, he has Robbie Anderson. He has DJ Moore. But no one that will is dynamic enough to, like, completely change a game. So I think Sam Darnold just, I don't know. I think he's definitely probably the best they got, but got some things to figure out.
I mean, DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson are guys who are not a one, but they're both twos. And, I mean, it's good to have two twos on a team. Other scores around the NFL, Falcons beat the Dolphins 30-28. Game-winning field goal by Koo. How do you say his name?
Youngway Koo.
Youngway Koo, game winner. Falcons are 3-3 for some reason. They could be a chance to make the NFC playoffs. I mean, maybe.
The big thing for the Falcons was the rookie tight end Kyle Pitts.
Mm-hmm.
He's had himself a
big emerged as a good tight end in this league. People are already saying he's top five. I just don't see it. Patriots smashed the Jets 54-13. The Raiders stay hot without their former head coach. They won 33-22 over the Eagles. And the Eagles are really regretting that Carson Wentz trade now. I mean, kind of. He needed a new place. I don't think Wentz would have ever worked out in Philly, but they lost a talented quarterback. He's doing good things in the Colts. Matthew Stafford played his former team, the Lions. The Rams won 28-19, I should say. Buccaneers blow out the Bears. Tom Brady, 600th touchdown, and Mike Evans gives it to a fan. The fan gets a Bitcoin and more. I mean, the fan really lucked out on that one. You got a football for free, and then you get everything from Tom Brady and the boys. 600 touchdowns for Tampa Bay down there in Tom Brady. I mean, just Tom Brady has just played for so long. I think he's going to continue to play the Buccaneers. I don't think they're the best team in the NFC because of the Cardinals are just such a good team, but they're up there. Tom Brady is just continuing to impress. The Cardinals, like I just mentioned, got a big win, 31-5 over the Texans. Sorry, Davis Mills. I think he could be a decent quarterback. It's just he needed development time and not to be thrown in there. But he did. Cardinals, big win. And, I mean, the Cardinals offense has just been so impressive. Zach Ertz, first game as a Cardinal, he gets his longest touchdown reception of his career and scores two consecutive weeks for two separate teams. First time in NFL history. That's going to wrap up our NFL topic. The Pacers started the season 1-3. They lost last night to the Milwaukee Bucks. We're going to talk about it, and we'll be right back on the Sports Spotlight.
If doctors told us that we'd made a breakthrough on COVID-19, we would rejoice. We'd feel hope that we could live our lives again, get back to work, back to doing what we want. Well, masks are a ticket to that freedom. We can help protect others and save lives by covering our noses and mouths, which is how the virus mainly spreads. Until there's a vaccine, grab the breakthrough that's already here. When we're out, it's masks on. A message to help keep you safe.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots.
Woot, woot.
And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest and then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life. Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you, start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
Now I'm, trying to get better, stronger than ever.
Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
And welcome back to the Sports Spotlight. I'm your host, Jackson White, and alongside me is Kevin Gleva. And you're listening to the Sports Spotlight here on Indy's Giant 90.9. The Indiana Pacers season was underway. We're going to talk about it more, but we kind of went on break. So this is really the first time we've talked about the Indiana Pacers. They are now 1-3. And really the biggest talking point about this team, even though they are 1-3, is the rookie Chris Duarte. First ever NBA game, comes out 27 points on the season. He's averaging 19.8. I mean, he's put in 19 or more in every single game he's played, except 15. Well, that does make sense. But he's put up at least 15 points in every single game he's played, and he has looked like a clear front runner for Rookie of the Year. He's having a good game, and not a good game, a good season so far. He started his first ever game, first Pacer since Jamal Tinsley in 2002 to start as a rookie. And Chris Duarte has been all the talk and more. And just now, Caris LeVert got back to practice today. This Pacer team's finally starting to get healthy. And I don't even think they've really scratched anything that they can do, because I think the head coach, brand new head coach Rick Carlisle, in his second stint with the Pacers, I mean, it just looks like to me that he is just really messing around with lineups. O'Shea Brissett really starting to crack the lineup now. Goga Batase played a lot of minutes last night against Milwaukee. There's players that haven't played that I do think are going to play. I think we're going to see a little bit of Isaiah Jackson, the rookie center out of Kentucky. I think we're going to see lots of different lineups. Caris LeVert's going to come back hopefully soon. And I think this Pacer team, just they don't know really what they have. And Miles Turner, 40 points in their only win of the season, overtime against Miami. Miles Turner did not have 40 points in that game, but they did win an overtime game versus Miami. And Chris Duarte almost hit a game winner in that one. That would have been wild. The rookie shooting your final shot, you don't really see that too often. Turner got 40 points in a game earlier as well. And the Pacers, I mean, they're a team that has talent everywhere. They finally struck gold with the rookie. I mean, what have you seen from the Pacers so far, Kevin? And I mean, this team just, they don't really know what they have.
Yeah, and I mean, a big part of that is like what you were saying, was just all the different lineups we are seeing, you know, different people getting different amounts of playing time. I mean, Miles Turner is one of those guys who really hasn't been playing a whole ton this so far this season, but he did have that one big game. And I mean, the Pacers are 1-3 on the season, but their three losses are a combined 12 points, two of those being 1-point losses.
I mean,
then a 10-point loss.
You could look and say this team could be 3-1. I mean, they're right there. They're close, and they don't have two players in T.J. Warren and Caris LeVert that are your guys. And, I mean, this team has so many possible lineups that you could put out there. I mean, you could really just throw so many lineups, like a Domantas Sabonis, T.J. Warren, Caris LeVert, Chris Duarte, Malcolm Brogdon lineup. You could throw in O'Shea Brissett, a power forward. I mean, there's other players. Torrey Craig, who's kind of been inconsistent, you could say, but he's a solid player. Justin Holiday is a guy who can shoot it. Miles Turner, the best shot blocker in the league. I mean, he's a guy who's kind of played limited minutes of late for some reason. I do not know why. He's only played 14 minutes the last two games in both of them. So, I mean, foul trouble has got a little bit of effect to him. He had 40 in a game, so he gets hot. But one thing that is still with this team is their two best players are Domantas Sabonis and Malcolm Brogdon. Sabonis is the star. He's averaging 24 points, 12 rebounds. I mean, it's only been four games, but Sabonis seems to be still the one for the Pacers. But I think Caris LeVert coming back is going to help this team tremendously. They've only been losing, like you said, the combined losses of 12 points besides the Bucks loss. And, I mean, it's just 12 points.
Including the Bucks loss.
So, I mean, 12 points is just such a gap, and Caris LeVert's going to give you 20. T.J. Warren's going to give you 15. I mean, obviously, other guys are not going to score as much as they have if there's guys are back. But, I mean, there's the two players that are starter-type caliber players, and they're gone. They're not playing. Caris LeVert hopefully back soon. T.J. Warren maybe in the next month. He's kind of had a lingering foot injury, so, I mean, knee injury. But it's just, this team confuses me. And because they have so much talent, I just don't, once all those guys get back, I don't know what they're going to do with the ball, because there's so many shooters. And I don't know, do you send Duarte to the bench? I mean, he's a rookie. He's averaging 38 minutes a game. I mean, your rookie doesn't do that day one, and Duarte's done that. I mean, he's putting up 19 a game. Do you put your rookie on the bench that could be a superstar? I don't know. I mean, obviously, Caris LeVert's going to probably take the place of Justin Holiday in the starting lineup and keep Duarte out there. But I don't know. I mean, Duarte is just have such an amount of confidence you don't see in rookies. He's pulling up on guys like Giannis Antetokounmpo, Jimmy Butler. He waved off a screen in the game against Miami and hit a deep three over P.J. Tucker. I mean, he's just such a talent, and I'm just so happy the Pacers drafted him. And I didn't like the draft pick whenever they drafted him. I never heard of him. He's a 24-year-old rookie. You do not see that. He is NBA ready, and it's shown. But, I mean, this Pacers team, what do you think the best lineup is going into the season when everyone's healthy?
Yeah, I mean, of course, you want to keep Brogdon out there at point guard and LeVert. And, you know, Warren, of course, last time he was playing out of his mind. That was in that NBA bubble. So, I mean, of course, when he comes back, I don't see him coming immediately out into the starting lineup. So I think maybe you keep Chris Duarte out there as long as he's playing. And then, of course, you start out with Sabonis and Turner. But, you know, I think once everyone is healthy, I think the Pacers team will just be exciting and fun to watch, because even more than now, they'll be able to just mix up lineups and they'll have a solid bench, a lot of people being able to come off there. I mean, honestly, a big player, I think, from the bench is TJ McConnell. As I feel like he just comes off the bench and he's just an electrifying player.
Energy.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I mean, sometimes that's what you need in a game. You know, he's kind of small. He's not going to score a ton of points or anything, but he'll get down and do the gritty things in basketball. So, I mean, whatever the best lineup ends up being, I think even if someone needs to come out or something, there's going to be people ready to fill those spots.
And yeah, I mean, the closing lineup in every single game the Pacers have played so far has been different. There's been games where TJ McConnell has been in, and he shot two threes in the fourth quarter. He missed them both because he's not a shooter. I mean, you've had closing lineups that you've had O'Shea Brissett out there, Goga Batase, Torrey Craig. I mean, they've Jeremy Lamb. I mean, all these players that come off the bench have been in the closing lineup. So it's just, I mean, he's maybe going off who's hot, but I think he's just trying to see where he's at. And, I mean, it's a long season. The Colts do play in a couple nights. Not the Colts, the Pacers do play in a couple nights. So I'm excited to see what this Pacer team can bring to the table. I mean, players are getting back healthy. And I think they're just going to continue to grow under their new head coach. And I really like this team can score. And like we've seen so far, they've been able to put the ball in the net. And they're playing better defense every game. And like you said, they've only lost by 12 points total this season. So I think this is going to be a top five seed in the East, even though people do not think that in the media world. They have a good head coach. They have a good staff. They have guys who have been head coaches as their assistants before on the assistant staff. So, I mean, this team has potential, but they have to put it on the court, and we're going to have to see that. I mean, it's a long season. They still have a chance to go 79-3. Will it happen? Probably not. You never know, though, with Domantas Sabonis being your best player. But we're going to take a break. World Series Game 1, MLB starting tonight. We're going to talk about that and more on the Sports Spotlight. We'll be right back.
Hi, everybody. It's Barack. Now that every American over the age of 16 is eligible to get the vaccine, I want to talk about you getting yours. The vaccine is safe. It's effective. It's free. I got one. Michelle got one. People you know got one. And now you can get one, too. It's the only way we're going to get back to all the things we love, from safely spending time with grandparents to going to concerts and watching live sports. So get the vaccine as soon as you can.
Visit rshot.in.gov.
Okay, kids, Dad's gonna teach you how to dance. First, spread your feet apart. Then, pump your knee, nod your head, shake your hips, and bite your lip ever so slightly. Now, with one hand in the air, point at people with the other hand. I call that the rock star.
Dance like a dad. It's a great way to make a moment with your kids.
Now, make a face like it just smells something bad.
Visit fatherhood.gov, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
And welcome back to the Sports Spotlight. I'm your host, Jackson White, here with Kevin Gleva. And now joining the show, welcome back to the Spotlight, Owen Pooley. How's it going?
Pretty good.
Pretty good, pretty good. So, the MLB World Series is happening tonight, and the MLB season is coming to an end. I think you know everything about it. I mean, take us through, what do you expect from this game one?
I think that the Astros and the Braves have a good matchup coming ahead of them. I do believe that the Braves have a little bit better hitting than the Astros do right now, even though Ronald Acuna Jr. is out and Marcelo Zuna has been out as well. Acuna with that ACL tear earlier in the season, and Marcelo Zuna battling some domestic violence charges. I think they have some good hitting pieces in Ozzy Albies and Jock Peterson, along with some other key talents on that, and I do believe that pitching is substantially better, more in the bullpen area of the Atlanta area.
And you're listening to the Sports Spotlight on WBDG FM HD1 Indianapolis. I'm Jackson White, here with Kevin Gleva and Owen Pooley, now joining the show. And I mean, this I don't know which way the series is going to go.
That's what I've seen. Like, I mean, people are picking both sides, but everyone's picking like six or seven games. Like,
yeah, I take Atlanta in seven.
I think Atlanta is going to win in six. I think that they're going to take. I mean, it's either going to go six or seven. I don't see this being a sweep. Yeah,
I've talked to Jeffrey Adirash. We have the On the Mound Monday on Monday mornings, where we're all baseball, and he said that he believes that every game is going to go to the home winner. So, like, he has Houston winning in seven, so he thinks that Houston's going to take the first two in Houston, Atlanta's going to take the next three in Atlanta, and then Houston's going to take the next two in Houston.
I mean, that's possible, but I just, there's no way that the home team wins every game. I mean, we've seen it before.
I think 2016 minus game seven, something like, or no, that was the away, only away teams won. Never mind.
Yep.
Yeah.
2016 Cubs only
and,
away, yeah.
Cubs in Cleveland.
Yeah. Home team did not win a single game that series. It was only away.
Yeah, and that was, I mean, the Cubs did win in seven.
Mm-hmm. In extras,
yeah,
too.
At Cleveland. Yeah, because there was a rain, and there was a really long rain delay.
In between the ninth and the tenth.
And, the Cubbies came back from a 3-1.
Yeah, so, and it was 108 years.
Yeah, and it was like 50, 60 years for the Cleveland since they'd won the
World
Series,
like,
too.
It was like 70, I think. Something like that, because it was 1946, 7, or 8. It was one of those three.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But it was the two longest teams who had the longest droughts.
Now the Indians just have the longest drought.
Yeah. Oh, poor Indians.
they were not
Guardians.
Very good.
Guardians. Sorry, true. Guardians. Well, maybe. They have like what's it called? What's the one where you like roller skate and you like you hit? Is it roller derby?
Yes.
There's like a professional roller derby team called the Cleveland Guardians, and they're like in a legal battle with the Cleveland Indians right now for a team name.
That's interesting. So I guess we'll talk about that more next season. But for now, we're just going to go through predictions for tonight's game. I'm going to start with you, Kevin.
Yeah, I think game one, it's at Houston. So I do think Houston's going to win this first one. I'd say 5-3.
Yeah, I think that Houston can win this one. I think it's going to be like 5-3, 5-4, something like that. And I do think that, a little bit of a bold prediction, I do think Jose Altuve will hit a home run today.
I mean, you could see it. I'm going to take Houston. I think they're going to win 6-5. I think I don't see it going to extra innings. I think it's going to be a 9. So we'll see. I mean, it could go either way. I mean, these are both teams that deserve to be here, and they've proved it this season. But that's really going to wrap up the show. Earlier in the show, Greg Rakestraw joined us talking about Colts, and you can hear that on any podcast service that you have. We're going to post that shortly, so you can take a tune in to Greg Rakestraw talking Colts and more. A little bit of Pacers talking now, and we'll be. But thank you for tuning in to the Sports Spotlight here on this Tuesday, October. Our first ever October. No, we've had one earlier in the year.
Our first one back in 2 weeks.
Yeah, first Spotlight back in 2 weeks. So we have another good one coming at you next Thursday. So make sure to tune into that 1:15 every Tuesday and Thursday. Getting back into this kind of motion, having shows and all that. So this has been it for Owen Pooley joining us now. Thank you for joining. And Kevin Gleaver and myself, Jackson White, thank you for tuning into the Sports Spotlight. Got some good music coming your way here on Indy's Giant 90.9. Have a good rest of your afternoon and evening.